Intercom's AI-first customer service platform answers 50% of questions in seconds. That means happier customers. And Fin AI Copilot, our new personal AI assistant for every support agent, means more efficient teams. It's a win-win. The platform also provides insights for managers, and it's simple to set up and use. That makes Intercom a win-win, win-win, win. Intercom, AI-first customer service.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited that we have another great program here. We're about 60 days away from Election Day in California and everywhere else in the country, about 30 days away from dropping ballots, about 30 million of them in the state of California, and some states are ahead of that. So we're at a very exciting time in the history of this country, probably one of the most pivotal times in my lifetime. My good co-host is out today. She'll be back adding her insight here in another program or two. We do have an exciting guest I'll introduce you to in a few minutes that is going to help us understand something about higher Christian education. But first, I want to talk to you about an exciting movie that my wife and I got to watch over the Labor Day weekend. And it's the movie on Reagan. It's just called Reagan. It was shown, we go to one of these theaters where if you aren't careful, you can fall asleep. They have the lazy boy chairs and they bring the hot dogs and popcorn to you. So Gail and I like to get away on the weekends and kind of block out. We only go to good movies. We hardly stand some of the previews. But and they'd been marketing the Reagan movie quite a bit on certainly TV here in San Diego. Dennis Quaid, as a lot of you folks know, has become a real stalwart for Christianity, kind of turned his life around a few years ago. And he is the star of the movie. The lady who plays Nancy Reagan is phenomenal. I encourage Christians and non-Christians to go see the movie for a couple of reasons. It's a biopic, meaning it really talks about the history of the Reagan years and what he went through. It starts out, and I don't want to spoil too much of this, it goes into his childhood. It talks quite a bit about his Christian faith as a young man, his days as a lifeguard. And, you know, it's really a fascinating history. Now, for folks, the theater was full, I have to tell you. But I looked around, and for anybody that was less than 40 years old, they, for the most part, weren't alive during the Reagan days. So this was more like a history lesson for them. For me, you know, I got involved in Christianity and politics in the Goldwater days, which goes back to the early 1960s. The first time I ever saw Ronald Reagan on TV was at the 1964 Republican Convention when Barry Goldwater was nominated. And he did a famous presentation called Rendezvous with Destiny. Some of the older folks listening today will probably remember that. It's a classic. You still hear it from time to time. But I remember seeing him and kind of caught my attention. It was kind of the keynote address, and it caught my attention. I said, now this guy has a lot of potential. Of course, in those days, he was doing all kinds of things, but Western-type movies, and he was a famous spokesperson for a product that probably very few of you folks remember called 20 Mule Team Borax. And 20 Mule Team Borax is a commercial-grade laundry soap that you can buy for your home, and apparently it'll clean everything you could possibly imagine. But he was standing out in the desert pitching 20 mule team borax. I can still see the picture. And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. Reagan had a great voice and had the ability to really sell and convince people in a very charming, sincere, warm way. But this movie talks a lot about critical stages of our existence in our country today. And it covers, you know, the early days when he was president of the Actors Guild, the confrontations with the communists, actually, that were working to take over Hollywood. It unveils for folks to help them understand the infiltration of Marxism into the United States and the strategies that the communists, such as Khrushchev in particular in those days, and Stalin and others, were just so hell-bent, if you will, on ruining the United States and turning it into a communist country. I was talking the other day about, you know, look at the great examples of communism. Well, you got China. That's not a very free place. To some extent, Vietnam, which has changed some. But you got Cuba and Venezuela. You look at the old Soviet bloc countries. Some of them are freer than others. But, you know, the other day, Epoch Times had the front page of Epoch Times had a fascinating article. And it was about what is the average pension for a retired person in Cuba. You know, what is the average pension for a retired person in Cuba? It's $10. So, you know, you can have presidential candidates talking about socialism, Marxism, and talking about how great they think those systems are. Well, they should just go down to Cuba and hang out for a long weekend and see what that's really like. So today, this is Save America Now, Biblical Citizenship Alive. And I just encourage folks to really, you know, take a couple of hours off. The movie is not short, I have to tell you. It's at least two and a half hours. But it's fascinating, and it's been well documented in terms of, I think, the Reagan family, like Michael Reagan and others, have been involved in making sure it's accurate. But there's some interesting parallels I want you to think about between what he went through and what we're going through today. And the ability for somebody to change the world like he did when he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And what came out of that, but the build-up to what it took to be able to stand there in Berlin and say that is fascinating. So I encourage you to really get out, take some time off, and enjoy that movie. Now, today we have a special guest. Dr. David Poole is with us here in studio. We're not calling in, so the quality of the audio ought to be phenomenal. But David and I met through a common friend several months ago, actually, probably 6 months ago now. And I've really grown to be very appreciative of what he's doing. He is the president of San Diego Christian College. And we're going to talk about the history of that school. We're going to talk about what it stands for today. But I want to start out really talking about David and kind of, you know, his background. It's fascinating and why he's so qualified to be a great president of this school here in San Diego. Welcome, David.
Good to be with you, Steve.
So I'm excited that we have a chance to kind of share some things that we've talked about over the last several months and gotten to know each other. But first of all, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your background and kind of where you grew up. And I've grown to appreciate all your higher education expertise. But give me some background on yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Riverside, so I'm a Southern California boy. And that was at a time when things were very, very different. Very, very different. And pretty conservative in Riverside that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Grew up in a Christian family, Christian home. I was actually adopted. And one of the things that doesn't happen too typically these days, but my birth mother knew my parents. My parents couldn't have children. And so it was kind of prearranged, and they took care of her for the last 6 months. And when I was born, I was David Poole. And it's been a wonderful upbringing. But from there, I went off to Pepperdine and got my initial bachelor's degree at Pepperdine for a kid from Riverside. Going to Malibu, that was a big deal.
That's a big deal.
And
yeah.
That's when Pepperdine was very, very tied in strongly to the Churches of Christ, which is what I grew up in.
Yep.
A conservative Christian movement there. And then from there, I was going to be a businessman, but I got a free ride because I sang in the choir. They offered me a free scholarship to finish off my degree. Wasn't a bad deal. And so if I would get a music degree, which I did, then I was a music teacher. I was in the public schools for 3 years. And then from there, went back into business, got a graduate degree, and then much, much later, doctorate. So I've been between business and academic administration my whole life. It's just been where God has placed me.
Well, that's pretty exciting. And and I always, when we get to chat on these shows, I always learn quite a bit about our guests, too. And so that's pretty interesting. Now, talk to me a little bit about some of the opportunities and challenges you have had in the higher education arena over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my experience as a public school teacher to see kids when they're in ninth grade through 12th grade and then they're going to college, when I started working in higher ed, I felt fairly prepared for that aspect of things. Also, I've done two startups. And so from a business standpoint, I think that's the combination between the two for me. Having done a technology and content startup, knowing what it's like to ensure that people are being paid and that you have revenue and that you're current with your marketing and with your with the operation, that you're doing the best that you can for the people you're serving, regardless of what that is. So as I moved into higher ed, I've been very blessed. I was able to develop and run Pepperdine's executive programs for senior executives and mid through senior executives for 13 years. Gave me a great opportunity there.
So these are like executive MBA programs?
These are executive MBA, and then I also, the latter part of my time there, there were a couple of other graduate degree programs that were under me, but yes. And in fact, it was the only one in the country at the time where it had what was called the Presidential Key Executive MBA Program, or PKE program. For any of your listeners out there that are graduates, wonderful people. And but it was strictly senior executives. So that gave me some real, real great perspective.
So these are people who have been out in the workplace working, and either they or their employer said, you know, you need to, we'd like to send you away for a few months and learn more about executive MBA classes.
That's right. Just to take it, how can you take your organization to the next level?
Yeah.
And there was a big push. Pepperdine's real strength was in organizational behavior and strategic management. So that it's one thing to know the financials, and that's part of, you know, as you do.
Oh, it's the most critical.
It's critical to have that data. But at the end of the day, then once you have that data, how do you manage people? What are the values? What are the ethics that are necessary to be able to get your organization to survive and thrive? So that was a lot of my early influence, was Pepperdine in those areas especially.
We're listening today to Dr. David Poole, who is president of San Diego Christian College, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that. But right now we're kind of delving into more of his experience. And now, David, I've been on a couple of higher education university boards, and I have to admit that I've learned a lot. Typically as a CPA, I get selected to chair the audit committee, the finance committee, and present numbers, and I always thought that was the most important thing. But I learned after attending these meetings, it was a little segment, and people would maybe yawn a little bit, and they were always ready to applaud when I was done talking. And for the most part, I learned a lot about thinking about all the aspects of business, like you were mentioning, that is well beyond the numbers. The numbers are basically a reflection of reality, of what has happened historically. The challenge, of course, is what do you do prospectively? How do you, how do you put an organization together that's going to be able to, meet goals, objectives, and keep so many audiences happy, whether it's your customer directly or board members or the community. And so that's a lot of tough work. Now, you and I ran into each other on a flight a couple months ago that I take from San Diego to Charlotte to see my daughter. And we ran into each other and got to chat a little bit. And you got to meet my grandchildren, who were also got pictures in the cockpit with the pilot. They didn't fly the plane, folks, but they probably wanted to. But you were coming back to North Carolina. Now, you have some North Carolina connections, too.
I do. About 6 years ago, my wife Mary and I, God called us to North Carolina for me to be a president at an institution in eastern North Carolina. And then after that, we moved to help another school in western part of the state. But my oldest daughter and son-in-law, and they're expecting this will be our second grandchild in February, they live in Charlotte. And so that's why we were going to Charlotte. And then, strangely enough, my middle daughter and son-in-law and grandson and my youngest daughter and son-in-law, after we moved out there, they all moved out there for a variety of reasons. All of them were, with the exception of my oldest daughter's son-in-law, they were all Californians. And they just, they've learned to love North Carolina. But that's why we go out there.
Yeah, I think you and I keep American Airlines in business. the unique thing about that flight, depending on the wind, you can go from the West Coast to the East Coast in about 3.5 hours.
Yep.
Sometimes 4, but, if you have some good tailwinds, you can get there in about 3.5 hours, which is pretty remarkable when you think about going coast to coast in 3.5 hours. And so it's really not that difficult. Now, my youngest daughter is in Greenville, South Carolina. I was born in Brevard, North Carolina.
Oh, were you?
So, I've got some Tar Heel roots, too. But we love seeing our youngest daughter and her husband, who works with, he's a systems engineer with some of the big music groups like Phil Wickham and whatnot. But they moved for one major reason, and that is you couldn't buy a house in
exactly
California.
Right. Yeah.
The average home is now $1 million+, and it takes about $500,000 down to even be able to afford or have a reasonable mortgage payment. And they moved to Greenville, where I went to school at Bob Jones University. There was about 100,000, the population in the 1970s, it was about 100,000. Today it's over $500,000. But sure enough, Sarah and Josh were able to buy a home in about 3 months, a brand new home. I think they put $20,000. We don't need any of this Kamala free down payment money.
Nope.
Beautiful place. Some changes in the temperature and whatnot, but they're having a great time and getting plugged into the Christian community. Some of our friends there at Bob Jones University have reached out and helped them. But the Carolinas are really rocketing, and there's been some great planning in that whole Greenville-Spartanburg-Charlotte corridor, which really runs Atlanta, Greenville, Spartanburg, Charlotte, in terms of business development. And you can see it. All you have to do is get on Interstate 85 and try and drive the speed limit. BMW saw that opportunity, and they have a huge plant in Spartanburg that employs 18,000 people, and most of it's robots. And I said, "Well, what are you doing with the people?" They said, "They're watching the robots." But if you ever have a chance, you can get a great tour. 100% of all the BMW SUVs in the world are made in that facility.
Are they really?
Wow. So they keep about half in the United States, and they ship the rest of them down to the coast, and they go out on ships all over the world. So Michelin has a big operation there. So it used to be a textile center, but they morphed. they did a pretty nice job of morphing that part of the Carolinas. So, you know, one of the things we're talking today to Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College, and we want to kind of talk more about that school here. Now, one of the things that I've found is so critical today is the importance of conservative Christian education. And that is really focused on having a biblical worldview and having a, you know, the kind of political ideology that makes sense. So, Dave, share with us a little bit about your philosophy of Christian conservative higher education.
Sure, be glad to. Yeah, you know, the school was founded in the early 70s by Tim LaHaye, Henry Morris, and Art Peters. And many of you may know Tim LaHaye is probably the most recognizable name with the Left Behind series, that both the movies and the books. And what was attractive to me is there were so much from those early days of when the school was established to my personal philosophy and feelings about the importance of Christian higher education. You know, it's interesting because I love Abraham Lincoln. One of the statements he made from a long time ago really rings true today. He said, "The philosophy of the schoolroom of one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next." Hmm. It just goes to show you how much you can make a difference with, particularly for young people, but also for those that are older coming back, but young people in particular, because that's, you know, for me, if we can take people when they're probably at their most vulnerable in questioning their values and beliefs. If you look at the research, you're going to see between that the years of 18 to 22, that is probably the time that's most significant on those young people's worldview and values. So what was attractive to me at SDCC and what is part of my philosophy is I think it's critical that those young people understand this, and that's why in our courses, and one of the things that I've done since I've been there is we are taking a step back in our curriculum and ensuring that we have, we are ensuring that we've infused faith integration in the curriculum. Not a Bible college. Bible colleges have their place. But you've got to be respected in academia from the standpoint of a quality education if you're going to be in business or psychology or kinesiology, any of those types of programs, right? But you want to ensure that as people are learning about their craft that they're going to be doing, that they've got that biblical worldview. Why did God create us for this? Why, as a business person, why is it important to have values and ethics when you do business with other people? I'm a business prof, so I guarantee you will see that very heavily for years in the programs that I've taught. And so if you do that, and if you think about it that way, that's going to produce the kind of graduates that we need. Part of that, too, is what the vision really is, to develop the Christian leaders of tomorrow. Well, if we're going to develop Christian leaders who have a seat at the decision-making table, if they're leaders, let's make sure they've got good biblical foundation in what they're learning. And it doesn't matter what the subject line is. It doesn't have to be a Bible class, because the Bible crosses across disciplines.
Well, you know, it's interesting, David, there's a Bible put out by a famous musician who wrote a great song on God Bless the USA. And that Bible is, when you open it up, and we've given out hundreds of these at the PAC sessions that we've had, and that is really, there are pages within the Bible that point to our country, our Constitution, our founding fathers, and how the Bible was incremental to the development of our government. And, you know, the state of Oklahoma is now requiring, thank goodness for the superintendent of education, is now requiring at the secondary level, at the high school level, the teaching of the Bible in all their public school classes. Can you imagine that? I mean, in today, you know, when When I was going through high school, that'd be like a, yeah, so what? That's common. But today, that's outstanding. And, of course, they're going to take a lot of flack. But their point is, it's not that we're necessarily forcing a particular religion. We're helping folks understand that core to the founding of this country was really the Bible and how critical it was. And you know, a lot of the issues that we deal with today, and you think about this election we're dealing with here in 2024, you can see the failure and the lack of biblical understanding. You can certainly take the topic of abortion, or as Bill Shisko on an earlier call, let's just call it for what it is, infanticide. And the fact that God has, blessed and raised, and that his spirit is in every Bible. And yet we have a presidential candidate who thinks it's just fine to actually abort a child just maybe moments before they're born. And I was talking to somebody today. I said, how can you support somebody that is that vile in the most important office in this country? You look at some of the economic factors, the economic notions of the current administration is one of socialism, not private property, not capitalism, things that are all taught in the scripture and the way God made us. And that is to enjoy the fruits of your labor and at the same time be charitable, but not a false philanthropy and not socialism, which, of course, drives everybody down to the lowest level. So, at San Diego Christian, we're talking today with Dr. David Poole, who's the president of San Diego Christian College. So there aren't many of these schools in the United States, and there aren't many in California. So you must have a tremendous market opportunity, or is it hard to get students to come?
No, absolutely. And part of that is just the opportunity to let people know about San Diego Christian College. While it's over 50 years in this area, I've been struck in the last year that I've been here at how many people didn't know that the college was here. And I think for colleges and universities, they do well, or they survive in some cases, but they fail to reach out into their communities and let people know what they can offer and the differences. And that's something that we're taking very seriously, and we are doing that. Part of that is the work that I'm able to do with some of our community leaders, particularly in healthcare and the helping professions, the programs that we're developing in healthcare and public administration and such. But you work alongside with them. But I've also been struck is with many, many, many of these leaders, many of them are Christians. Many of them are looking to refer or recommend schools like San Diego Christian because you're right, we're the last conservative Christian school in this area.
And that's so critical. For the parents listening today that have their have their kids in private Christian schools or private schools, and they're thinking, oh, let's send them off to some state university or something with a big name. And initially that kind of sounds interesting, but the problem is those schools, for the most part, are, while they have some probably technical strengths, fundamentally they do not support biblical worldviews. They actually support, the Marxists, and if you go back and watch the Reagan movie, you'll see how the strategy for Khrushchev and the Marxists was to infiltrate the media, Hollywood, and higher education. The reason we have, folks, the mess that we have in this country today, and you'd have to be living under a rock not to admit that we have some very difficult issues here in the United States like never before, and why we're, in my mind, fighting for our lives, fighting for the existence of schools like San Diego Christian. There are plenty of folks, David, that in Sacramento and Washington that would love to shut the school down.
Absolutely.
They have no interest in what you're talking about.
And the federal government is getting more and more into even our accreditors and telling them what they can and can't do. And it's pretty tough on those Christians, on us that are in Christian higher education these days.
So I have to applaud you and what you're doing and your faculty. And I've met some of your faculty. You know, recently Trey Gowdy came out at Flag Day, and we put a great event together and sharing primarily to feel good about America and to be proud to be an American. And you had a booth there with about 16 of your faculty, very impressive folks. Would love to have my grandkids come to the school. In fact, I've gone on the board of the school and very selfishly said, I'm really doing this, David, because I want a place to have my grandkids to go to. But Tim LaHaye, interestingly enough, was quite an entrepreneur. Not only did he get this university started, but was very involved in the Creation Research Society, in the development of the Shadow Mountain churches, and the Left Behind series. And the very school that my grandkids go to and my children went to was something that Tim LaHaye got going. And that's not easy to do. Getting private institutions, you've got to get parents, you've got to get tuition, you've got to have faculty, you've got to have facilities, you've got to make it all work, and all the accreditation issues that are critical. So, we really have to take our hat off to people like Tim LaHaye. The Trey Gowdy event was a wonderful event. It's triggered all kinds of great things in the state of California, including a movement called Turning California Red. It's amazing how many conservatives and Christians there are. One of these days, I'm going to have a good friend by the name of Terry Wilde come on our program and talk about his Liberty Network. And he has been a strong coordinator of all kinds of activities up and down the state, because I know his heart is one of let's get this state turned around, let's get this country turned around, let's support Christian education. So one of these days you'll hear Terry Wilde on a program and whatnot. So now, what are some of the key programs, David, that the students like to attend in particular, and maybe some of the ones you're thinking about in the future?
Sure. Currently and through the years, it's been very strong in, obviously, in ministry programs. We have aviation, and we're actually bringing that back now, which is very exciting, and not just missionary aviation, but aviation management. So a lot of what we're doing are programs that address professions. It's a different world today. I had a music degree, and I loved music, but today the jobs in music are thin. And so what students are looking for and what parents are looking for are those programs such as business and kinesiology and education. Teacher, there's a huge teacher shortage in California. And we've got a wonderful program where you can get your single subject credential or multiple subject credential. And if you're looking at master's, if you have your credential, and this has actually been starting with a variety of schools, there's actually 5 classes to complete your master's with your, as long as you have your credential. And again, we're not the only one doing that now, but I think we're one of the better ones doing that with the quality of instruction that we're getting. So when you look at those, what I would call bread and butter programs, the programs that you see a lot of schools doing, what we're doing now and what's happening now is we're expanding that. So not just teacher programs, but we're getting into communication disorders. That's a huge need, particularly after COVID. Speech-language pathology, both for older and younger. There's a significant jobs, but these are all missional-related programs. For a Christian institution, you want to see these. Human development, nursing, we're in development for nursing. Clinical mental health counseling at the graduate level. As I mentioned, I think earlier, public administration. I want to have Christian people running cities with a Christian worldview that are our fire chiefs and police chiefs. When I had the opportunity to build out Cal Baptist a whole online and professional studies division that went from 589 students to over 4,000 in a very short period of time. What we did was we went from 12 majors and concentrations to 42 because you have to, if you're expanding that product mix with Christian worldview education, that's a broader opportunity for people, a broader group of people to go back. So part of that, even at the high school level, dual enrollment that we're doing.
Now, what is dual enrollment?
It's really interesting. It's been around for a while. And in the state of California and a couple of other states, it's similar to what they call middle college. Middle college, so for example, in Norco, California, you have middle college, which many times are on a high school campus, and sometimes on a college campus, where you're taking you take a class that counts for your high school. Generally, it's juniors and seniors, counts for your high school class, but it also counts for a college class. So from a dual enrollment, and this is great for homeschool students too, they can be taking a course that would count for their high school, but they're also getting college credit. And the beauty is, if you start that early enough, maybe in the second half of your sophomore year, for example, and that's usually the age period where that starts, you could knock off easily a year or close to a year of college. That's a financial opportunity.
Sure, yeah.
Even if you're going to a public, God forbid, but if you're going to a public. Those kind of programs are critical, and that's an opportunity that we're expanding on with our public school districts
private. I have a grandson and a granddaughter, but a grandson who thinks he's the smartest kid in the room, and he probably is. But those are the kinds of programs he's only in eighth grade, but he's already talked to me about that. And of course, buying him a car when he gets a license. Those are the two topics we talk about today, but that's exciting. Now tell us a little bit about the accreditation of the school.
The college is fully accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. They have had a history in the past of having some challenges with that. We have just gone through and are probably in the best relationship with the accreditor, which again is WASC, Western Association of Schools and Colleges, than they've had in 10, 15 years. And so not only that, but then we're going and moving to professional accreditations as we bring on these other programs that really make sure that we are doing the highest quality that we can, but very, very strong. We're also involved with what's called AICCU, which is the Association of Independent California Colleges and Universities. I've done some lobbying for them in the past, and a great organization of private institutions, both faith-based and non, as well as the CCCU, which is the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, which is a national organization. And so I'm also on the NAICU, which is the National Association of Independent and Colleges and Universities, because you want to have presidents. You have to be a president to be on. I'm actually on one of the committees. You have to be a president to be on involved in that particular group. But we need more faith-based presidents to be involved, because now we're addressing issues at the national level. And I'm actually on the accountability committee that is holding those senators and congressmen accountable from that standpoint. These are very, very good organizations that are critical to the success of Christian higher ed.
We're talking today with Dr. David Poole, who's president of the San Diego Christian College, and the importance of some of the programs and the topics that he is leading, and the kind of initiatives that he's bringing to this area. So I encourage parents to take a good look. What's your recommendation in terms of getting a student, a high school student, interested in the school? How would they learn about the school?
The best way is if you go first to the website, which is sdcc.edu, sdcc.edu, and then give us a call as well. You'll see different numbers. The admissions team, if you have interest in the school, we love for you to come by. We love for parents and students to come by. We do tours. While we're a smaller school, you get to actually experience what the people are like. And that's a big, big part of higher ed. More and more students are not living on a campus now just because of costs and things. And while we do have housing, the majority of our students, like most private schools and higher ed, are really commuter students. And most of them come from a 50 to 100 mile radius. And so, and I'm talking about the on-ground students now. I'm not even referring to online or graduate, which might be in the evening and those things. But that's what we'd love. We would love to meet you and get to know what your dreams, what you want to do, what you're looking to do, and how we can help you get there.
Well, I've been out to the facility, the campus, and it's a very attractive, a great location in Santee, California. And now, how expensive is it?
We're actually we're a little bit less than many of the other privates around here. And when I say a little bit, it's probably $10,000, $15,000 less.
Wow.
So, but what people don't understand is how scholarshiping works. And so we're very liberal with our scholarships because we want students to come. So I could tell you that it's about $26,000 a year. Very, very, very few people pay anywhere near that because while we have to different from publics, we don't get people's taxpayer money, so we have to do it on our own. That's where the difference with privates. But we want to make it affordable. So it's amazing the scholarship programs that we have put in place. Before you say that I couldn't afford that, you may be very surprised at what you can afford. And very much so, many of our students are eligible for grants. This is before student loans now. Grants like Pell Grants, $5,000, $7,000. If you have VA, we have a lot of VA students. And both if you're you don't have to be, it could be from your parents if you're younger. And if you're an adult, obviously that as well. VA really makes a difference. There's also what's called SEOG, opportunity grants, and that's before we even do what's called institutional grants, and that comes from the school where we have scholarships. None of those things you pay back, and it's amazing the eligibility, how many are eligible for that. And then you can look at student loans if you need to. We really want to get you here without having to overdo the loans in this day and age.
Right. Well, that's actually very affordable in today's environment. That kind of pricing is, particularly after it gets discounted through scholarships and whatnot, is very attractive. And I also, my three daughters, for the most part, while some stayed on campus at dormitories, for the most part they commuted from our home. And I kind of like that as the protective father, kind of making certain that I knew where they were going and whatnot. I'm sure if they were here today, they would say, "Yeah, but Dad, you didn't know we did this and that." But but if the car broke down, I certainly was there to help them. And I had our kids through private Christian schools from day one, and I've paid for I think 7 advanced degrees. It cost me pre-tax over $1 million, which I used to talk about as a big number. And now in today's environment, that's maybe average. And so I've got my grandkids now and helping them out. But I have to tell you that, you can spend a lot of time at home. Parents can be teaching. Churches can be teaching. Sunday schools. But what you cannot afford to do, you should not send your kids off to some secular university that's going to destroy their faith in the first semester. And they are very focused on that. And to have a quality accredited Christian school in San Diego that's commutable and affordable, it's really a great deal. It's really a blessing that the folks here in this listening area should be aware of. And I know you have students from outside of San Diego also, but let's say you don't have kids, but you want to support the school. How would you go about doing that?
Absolutely. I would love to talk to you personally, and I talk to donors every day. It is so critical. many times, as I said earlier, they don't understand the impact that they can have, whether it's $100 or it's $1 million. Every dollar has an impact to a private institution, and particularly a private Christian institution, because that's the lifeblood of how we are able to give scholarships. That's how we're able to have high quality faculty and staff that are going to support students to ultimately achieve the dream that they're going to school for, along with what parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family members are hoping for them too. So if you contact me at dpoole, D-P-O-O-L-E, at sdcc.edu, pop me a quick email, dpoole@sdcc.edu. That's an E after pool. If you want to learn more about how you can help us achieve our mission and our vision to create the Christian leaders of tomorrow, boy, I'd love to talk with you. Absolutely.
Well, I encourage folks listening to this program to do that. You know, I'm a CPA. I'm very well aware of the program and have for years. I've actually done a little bit of teaching on finance and accounting at the university over the years. But more importantly, when you think about it, we recently had Dr. Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries talk about the biblical worldview training that they do for 16 to 28-year-olds who are on their way to college in their program in Colorado Springs, which is a two-week program on all kinds of aspects of how the Bible applies to their lives and how to defend their faith. So, you know, when you look at the combination of homeschool training, the church, places like Summit Ministries, places like San Diego Christian College, if we're ever going to turn this country around and kind of get rid of the kind of left-wing, anti-God, pro-abortion, high taxation, totalitarianism that we are marching into, it is going to have to start, and it's going to have to start with working through the educational institutions, the home, the church, and particularly the higher education institutions. Because if you allow the public school, the average public school Marxist kinds of orientation to get a hold of your child, you will find that they're going to be distancing themselves from you for a long time. And Reagan, going back to the Reagan movie, Reagan was very much aware of the infiltration and strategy of the Marxists in this country. And I encourage you to go to the movie because he articulates that risk. And he did some great things 40 years ago. Unfortunately, we have raced away from the foundation. I don't know what he would think today if he was to see what's going on in college campuses, going on in the Middle East, and going on with $36 trillion of debt and on and on. It would be, he'd probably just go back to the ranch and ride horses and call it a day. But nevertheless, we can't give up on this country, and we sure can't give up on the education of our children, because they will be the Christian leaders of tomorrow. So I really want to thank Dave for coming on board today. I've enjoyed the opportunity over the last several months to get to know you and know your heart. Save America Now, PAC, started several years ago. We do three things. We raise money for federal and state candidates. We also produce these podcasts and e-blasts that go out every week. And then we have periodic lunches in which we bring a lot of candidates in to speak and to share our faith in these things. So the PAC is very much in line with this, and I've been surprised over the last three and a half years, people who have reached out and donated to the PAC from all over the United States, but have also, I think, seen the impact on some of their election results. And sometimes, people just need to be stimulated and have somebody to point out the elephant in the room and start talking about this. And many times deep down inside, that's exactly the way they feel. They just need somebody to kind of stand up. And that's what the PAC is about. We're not shy about, you can look at our website, Save America Now, PAC, and see what we believe in. It's sanctity of life, religious liberty, and capitalism, private property. Those are really the three fundamental issues that operate this country. Keep in mind, this country is only 4% of the population of the earth, but we produce at least a third, if not more, of the goods and services. And as it relates to expanding Christian ministry around the world, the churches, the schools, the training. You know, the United States has been, we're coming up on 250 years in 24 months, but we have been the real leadership in the history of civilization in terms of how I think God has blessed human beings and given them an opportunity to worship Him, to honor Him. So we're very thankful for that. And Dave, I appreciate you coming on board today and sharing on the university and what you've got going there. And I just encourage folks to think about sending their children there to get their checkbooks out and continue to help underwrite the school. And that Tim LaHaye will look down and just be really thankful with the kinds of things that he put in place a long time ago and that continues to really carry the torch for Christianity. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve, for having me, and it's great to be with your listeners.
All right, thank you.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Intercom's AI-first customer service platform is such an upgrade that everything else feels a little outdated.
To whom it may concern, stop. I find myself displeased with your product and wish to return it to you. Stop.
Dear customer, stop. Our deepest condolences. Stop. We're happy to assist in this matter. Stop.
The future of customer service is here. Intercom is built on AI from the ground up to deliver fast, smart customer support. Intercom, AI-first customer service.